Good morning to each one again, and do believe what Reuben shared there in the opening of dwelling in the secret place. I'd like to talk about one of those places. I believe is one of those places that the Lord would have us to live in. And I think it's one of those secret places. I think there's probably different ones, but maybe one of them. Anyways, with the Lord's help, maybe we could just maybe we could all stand and we'll have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we just do come to you here this morning. Lord, we do pray that you would just open up your word to each one of us, and we just pray you'd enlighten our minds, our hearts, our thoughts. Lord, we need your help here this morning, and just pray you, by your Spirit, you'd minister to each need here today, and we just want to commit our lives, our tongue, our thoughts into your hand. Pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So yes, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And the subject I'd like to look at here this morning is contentment. Contentment. I don't have all my thoughts together here. I will say that if this seems a little wordy for me, I did pull some of these notes from some other places. So if it does seem a little wordy, it may not all be mine. But thinking of contentment, I think the opposite maybe of contentment would be covetous, you know, just desiring things that might not be, not right maybe for us to have, or just always coveting after. And, I just believe this, the society we live in doesn't help us any either. To be content with everything at our fingertips. It used to be, fast food was talked about. I remember growing up and that being, if we have all this fast paced things and we had fast food was then. Well, now we have this, this mobile, whatever you call it. I don't know. Y'all probably know more about it than I do. Anyways, things have they got slower? No, they've only got faster. Life has become, only multiple steps faster as slower. And, how do we find contentment with all these pressures in our world today? And around us, and how do we find that? And I just remember, I think I mentioned this before one other time, this article that was in the local newspaper about this, they called it the fear of missing out or something like that, phobia, fear of missing out, phobia or something like that, that young people experience a lot these days, and had to do with how we take pictures, and people take pictures, they're on vacation, and they want to show all their nice pictures, that when they're doing something, and the folks that aren't on vacation, they feel like they're missing out. So it's, when's my turn, this type of thing. And these things can wear on us, when we see what other folks are doing. And all of a sudden we're stuck at home, or you know, just how does that affect us? I think we ought to just watch over. I think we have to just watch over those things. But for some scripture, let's turn to 1 Timothy this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Thinking of contentment here. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition." Contentment is great gain, it says here. Godliness with contentment. I think it's noteworthy. We should note that. It says, but godliness, you know, with contentment. It's not good if we're contented in our sin. We should never be content and be living in sin. That's not the kind of contentment I'm talking about this morning. The contentment I want to talk about is with godliness. It says it's great gain, and food and raiment, let us be content. And then Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3, verse 14 says, and this was where John the Baptist came preaching, and he said, "Repent." And the different ones asked him, "What should we do? What should we do?" And the soldiers here said, and the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, "And what shall we do?" And he said unto them, "Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages." Saying, be content with your wages. Philippians 4. Philippians chapter 4, 11 to 13. This is Paul speaking. He says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction." Read one verse too far there, I guess. But whatever state, here Paul said, whatever state he found himself to be content. whatever place, I don't believe that meant Tennessee, that kind of state. It was whatever place he found himself, he was content with that. He says he learned to be content. Proverbs 15:16 says, "Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasures and trouble therewith. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right." And Hebrews 13:5 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." I think that's something that, as we go through this, to remember that the Lord has said he'll never leave us or forsake us. No matter, like we heard last Sunday, Joseph was sharing on enduring hardness or being able to, it's not, the Christian life isn't always easy and isn't all roses, you know. We're called to endure hardness as a soldier. But we can always remember this, that the Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. So how do we cultivate this contentment, you know? And maybe we'll think of contentment as being cultivated. It's something, you know, that doesn't just happen overnight, I don't believe, or in one day, that now I'm contented for the rest of my life. No, I think it's contentment is a process. Contentment is a process. It's a way of life. It's just like to look at Jacob a little bit. Jacob there in Genesis 31, he had worked for Laban for many years. And yes, he did end up leaving then, but it seems like he must have learned something about being content. In Genesis 31, 38 says, Jacob was talking to Laban, says, "This 20 years have I been with thee. Thy ewes and thy she-goats have not cast their young, and the rams of thy flock have I not eaten. That which was torn of beasts I brought not unto thee. I bear the loss of it. Of my hand didst thou require it, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. Thus I was in the day, the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sheep departed, and my sleep, departed from mine eyes. Thus have I been 20 years in thy house. I served thee 14 years for thy two daughters, and 6 years for thy cattle. And thou hast changed my wages 10 times. Now, how about that? You know, I would say he did well to stick with Laban for 20 some years. Here he says, I've been in thy house for 20 years. And he changed his wages 10 times. You know, I feel like I probably, you would have probably heard some grumbling coming from me, you know, if I'd have been there. But I think he must have knew something about being content, and obviously there he served for his two wives, says 7 years apiece. But contentment is a process. I'd like to say it's a way of life. Joseph also, we see Joseph, you all know the story, how that he had all these things happened to him, and then there he was in Potiphar's house, and he did the right thing. He ran out of that house and did the right thing by removing himself from that temptation, from that woman. And what happened to him? But he got thrown into prison. And I don't believe if you went by there, you would have heard the whining coming out of the prison from Joseph. I don't think you would have. Because it says there in Genesis 39:21 says he found favor in the sight of the keeper of the guards there in the prison, and what happened? He soon was over. He left him have liberties and take care of things. And I believe Joseph, he knew how to be content even though things went very much upside down for him. I believe he knew that, like that verse there in Hebrews, where he says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, even when he did the right thing, and he ended up in the prison, you know, for doing the right thing. For in Genesis there 50 and 20 says, Joseph said this, but as for you, talking to his brothers, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. So there we see Joseph, that was rooted and grounded in his mind that everything that happened to him, God was somehow, you know, he was going to serve the Lord no matter what. And, he was going to be content with that. Being thankful, I think thankfulness is a good way to cultivate, thinking of cultivating contentment, is being thankful. There's a brother that used to come here. One of his most frequent sayings went something like this. He wanted to cultivate an attitude of gratitude. That was very common. He would say that he endeavored to have an attitude of gratitude. And, you know, if we can go through our days, through our life with that kind of have an attitude of gratitude, being thankful. Look for all the things in a day that to be thankful over. You know, in your day, as we go about our day, there's many things that we have to be thankful over. And, I mean, we have nice homes to live in. We just think of what all happened there in Turkey in the last 2 weeks, you know. And there were people that had they were nice and warm, and now they find themselves in a rubble heap, you know, or it's only a few of them alive. Maybe no family left. There's so many things we have to be thankful for. Psalm 104 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. I think there's that song that says, count your many blessings, name them one by one. You know, if we could just remember that sometimes when we're having a hard day, to start counting our blessings and name them one by one. Now, this might be a little harder one, maybe for me, maybe not for you. But distinguishing between wants and needs. How do we do that? And that is a very good thing, though, to think about when we think about contentment and being contented with things. You know, there's... we read this verse here in 1 Timothy said, with food and raiment therewith to be content. Food and raiment. So we know we need food and raiment. And you know, I think in that would come, you know, we need a place to live. We need a place to have, to call home, to raise our families in. There's transportation. I think that's all needful. And jobs, those are needful things. But how do we distinguish between wants and needs? Y'all have to help me out maybe, and maybe y'all can discuss this more around lunch, but maybe it would, we could look at the past. Look at our past. Just look at how we have done maybe with some decisions we've made in the past. And trying to distinguish between wants and needs. And you know, after sometimes we do things or get something and give it 5 years, and then you can maybe a little more clearly see, was that a want or a need? And I think we all know that in material things, if we need the latest and the greatest, that is probably more want than need. It's not wrong to, maybe there's a new tool that comes out. I guess maybe one of the newest things they had was these powerful DeWalt 60-volt skill saws we got around the shop there. They're seem like they're pretty new on the block, but they've been around a while. But, you know, some of those things I don't think it's wrong to have to do our job. We can use it, you know, but if it's just we're getting it to, you know, just for the anyhow, that's definitely not a need. But if we can look in the past and just see at some of the decisions, some of the choices that we've made, and am I impulsive? Do I get, you know, when that salesman gets on the front porch, you know, do I just succumb to his whines, you know? And I'm sorry, I have already, you know. But I sure hope I'm wiser, you know, today. But yeah, don't live. Here's a thought here. Quote: don't reside in the land of regrets. You know, it's good to look in the past. To see maybe, hey, that was not a good choice, you know, a good decision. But don't live there. Don't just stay there. But let's learn from them. In the present, let's count our blessings. You know, I think if we count our blessings and look at see what all we have and the I don't think it's wrong to build a fellowship hall here, you know. But I think, you know, hopefully we can be content with this for quite some time. You know, I hope we could be content with that for a long time. Yes, count your blessings. And in the future, Trust the Lord. And with that, I would say maybe ask counsel. I think it's good to get counsel from other brothers and sisters if there's a move or something needs to be done. You know, it's good to take a little time and not be impulsive, but think things through, and maybe ask some counsel would help us to distinguish between wants and needs. Yeah, I don't believe there's anything wrong with making things better. But if we just have to keep up with the Joneses next door, then I think there is a problem with that. So cultivating contentment. And maybe we'll look at some of the benefits of contentment here. The benefits of contentment would maybe be joy. Contentment being a joy. There it talks about love, joy, peace. You know, I think if we can find ourselves being contented with where we're at in life, there'll be joy. We'll have joy, and there'll be peace too. There's joy in contentment. There's better health. You know, the doctors say when you heard this with cancer patients, they say get rid of stress. You know, get rid of stress. Get rid of anxiety. You know, try to, you know, get rid of those things. It's hard on your physical health if you're not content. It's a cure for envy. A cure for envy. A couple verses in Proverbs. I'm going to read Proverbs 23:17. Says, let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. You know, sometimes it does seem like darkness prevails, and it seems like sinners sometimes have a good time. But it says, let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. And again, I think back to that of being the contentment being godliness. You know, it's godliness that we're after, and being like God and being content with those things. Proverbs 27:4 says, wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? Who is able to stand before envy? Contentment, if we can allow that to be in our lives and live a contented life. It's a cure for envy, being envious of each other. A good testimony, it's also a good testimony. A contented person is a good testimony for the Lord. It's contented in righteousness. There's a few examples here of people that were not content, and I think probably about on the top of the list would be King Ahab, and I think you all know the story there. But you know, he was a king, and he had all this land. You know, he had so many things at his fingertip, but yet he looked out there and seen that vineyard of Naboth, and he was not content any longer with all the other things that he had. You know, he seen something someone else had. And, I mean, what a example of not being content. And he went and went in his room and shut himself up and just pouted like worse than a 5-year-old. You know, I mean, and yet he was king, you know. He just pouted until Jezebel there. I think if I got the story right, I'm doing this by memory. Told him what she could figure this all out for him, you know, and get him happy again. But what did it end up costing him? What did it end up costing him? Did it cost him his life? His life. Discontentment. It cost him his life. You know, and it's the same for us. There, another example is Achan. Achan, he coveted after. There was many other things that he could have had, but he coveted after the things that were not lawful, weren't right, they weren't supposed to have. He coveted after. What did it do? It cost him his life. Not only his, but his wife and children, his family. Innocent people. Our discontentment can cause innocent people hurt. Another example is Judas. Judas was also not content, and it cost him his life. Cost him his life. He took his life. Just some examples of being of ones that have been discontent. Discontentment is a ruination of our lives. So got a few more thoughts here as far as how to be content in family life. Just in our everyday lives, how do we find contentment? I think children, for children, be content, thankful with your parents. God put you there. God put you in the home that you're in. And you ought to be thankful. Young people, be thankful for those God has put over you. Give yourself to them. If it's in the way of godliness. Remember, we're talking of those in the way of godliness. And parents, be content with the children God has given you. You know, I think, yes, we ought to be content with what God has given to us. And be content with those things. Learn contentment. In business, among business peers, it's, my own thoughts here is, it's very human to think it's greener on the other side of the fence. And learn contentment in business. And, you know, I don't think it's wrong to quit one job and go try to find another job, maybe a better one. I think if our driving force is only to make another almighty dollar, that will be very disappointed. Very disappointed. But if we do make choices, if we do them slowly, carefully, in the right time, you know, there's a time and there's a place, there's a way to quit one thing and do another in a respectful way. I think that's all... I think that's good. It can be done with in godliness, you know. And we look forward into the future, you know, maybe for our family. We want to start a family business or something. That's what I thought I was going to do. But it didn't work out quite exactly like I had planned about 15 or more years ago. But anyways, being content, I guess, even in that, I have to learn contentment of where God has us and doing our best. And, you know, it's not always greener on the other side of the fence. And, but it's very human to think so. And, you know, the animals think so too. You put up a fence and they think it's greener on the other side, you know. It's not always that way. In church, how do we find contentment in church life? And, you know, this is something I need your help in. I'm not always have I been content, and I want to be. But 1 Thessalonians 5:13 says, "And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And it's talking of elders and maybe bishops there. It's talking about leaders there, 1 Thessalonians 5. But you know, as I was thinking about this, you know, I don't think it's wrong to listen to other messages, and there's all kinds of things we can listen to these days. And I don't think that's wrong in itself, to listen to other preachers, other teachers. I think there should be a carefulness, though, in that, at least if they're, you know, would walk out their daily life very differently than what we would believe the Bible to say. I think that would be a red flag. But to listen to other speakers, you know, there's some that are quite motivational. You know, they can, it really seems like they have things together. And then you come to the church service here this morning, and I can be quite boring, you know, and, it's just a little hard to have things together. And, you know, I guess a carefulness. I would just say a carefulness as we listen to others. I think it's good to learn, but don't pit them against your home, your at home preachers, your teachers at home. Don't pit them against them and say, well, they just, you know, just don't, you know, quite have it together. But here in 1 Thessalonians says to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. It's talking about those that are right here, you know. And so, and be at peace among yourselves. So again, contentment in these things, learning contentment. I'm by all means have not acquired all these things. I've just, I do feel like it's a process. It's a way of life. And you know, today's another day. If the Lord gives us tomorrow, is another day to practice contentment. And who knows, we probably don't know what all that'll be because life changes. But if we can learn to take the changes that God allows to come our way and use them for good and be contented and learn to just serve Him, I believe it'd be like Reuben shared there, that we can dwell in the secret place of the Most High and abide under His shadow. It'll be if we can find that place of contentment. May the Lord bless you.